Immediately to London with Adam Gilchrist. What is happening in our worldview? Good morning, good sir. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm pretty well, thank you. Yeah, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Good.
We've got a lot of discussion on Ukraine. Let's talk about the accusations that are going around over that war in terms of the Nazi name game.
Yes, we've had a right 24 hours of it, haven't we? I suppose with President Putin's Victory Day parade and his speech addressing the troops as they walked past them, well aware that he was addressing the world as well in the process, absolutely justifying what happened in Ukraine as Russia defending itself, that NATO was about to invade Russia. He absolutely said that. He also said that Ukraine was about to get nuclear weapons and that it was a special operation to clear out neo-Nazis. The use of the word Nazis constantly comes up now. We had Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, accusing Russian forces of replicating Nazi atrocities. We've had the UK Defence Secretary likening Russia's senior officers to Nazi commanders. And in fact, there was a terrific speech given by Ben Wallace, the UK Defence Secretary, yesterday. And in one line, here's just one line of it. Let's call out the absurdity of Russian generals resplendent in their manicured parade uniforms for being utterly complicit in Putin's hijacking of their proud history in defending against a ruthless invasion of repelling fascism. Instead, they are the ones inflicting needless suffering in the service of lowly gangsterism. I think that says a lot about what people's opinion of what Russia is doing in Ukraine is.
Yes.
But the war of words, of course, doesn't help with the actual word war necessarily, does it?
Yeah, indeed, it doesn't. Let's turn to the Philippines. Election fraud. I believe we've got some generational leadership coming through.
Absolutely. Yeah, it looks like. I mean, although they're not officially the official results, but certainly according to some partial results through and unofficial results through, Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr., son of.
Where does the name Bongbong come from? I know it's his nickname.
Good question. I have no idea.
Cool.
I don't know. Does he play the cymbals or the gong or something? I don't know. But yeah, it looks like he's going to be the guy voted in. I mean, it is extraordinary that he's the son of somebody who was known for a brutal authoritarian rule and who absconded with $10 billion worth of Filipinos' money. And yet it seems one generation later, forgive and forget and move on, eh? Except if Bongbong comes in, of course, he could be squeaky clean. He could absolutely be the antithesis of his dad. But this is after an election campaign that has been mired in fraud. And indeed, there's been an investigation, a BBC investigation, that found hundreds of dodgy Facebook pages and fake profiles full of outrageous claims. They constantly get taken down and then replaced by others. It's what they call a disinformation ecosystem. And one interview with a marketing consultant called John, not his real name, says he manages 30 people in Manila who spend their days inventing stories. He admits falsehoods and lies to boost the profiles of his clients, which include governors, congressmen, and mayors. John is one of many doing this in the Philippines. They don't need Russian involvement or anyone else's involvement. It just looks like it's a right problem getting democracy to work in the Philippines. But maybe Bongbong is the answer.
I mean, we'll see. A very interesting one here, the Formula One jury ban. It's a very cheeky move. Lewis Hamilton over the weekend showed up at one of his arrivals. I think he had three watches on, and I think he's this IWC guy. So he had a lot of wealth on his wrists. Three watches on, he had like four necklaces on and like eight rings. And he was like, oh, what was that about your jewelry ban? Why is it that they have this jewelry ban? And do I sense a little bit of F1 sort of taking a stance against Hamilton in weird and petty ways?
I'm not sure if it's anti-Hamilton or if it just makes sense. You're right, he was absolutely festooned in metal. Lewis Hamilton, when he turned up after the race in Miami, he was wearing more metal than your average rapper or a 1970s DJ. But there he was, because of the ban on earrings, finger rings, watches, bracelets, necklaces, medallions, and body piercings. And I guess you could argue absolutely that if you've got a big dangly chain around your neck, it's probably not the safest thing, given the unsafe nature of the sport, trying to get the helmet off or put out a fire or remove somebody who's unconscious from the cockpit of a car or any number of those things, if you've got necklaces and medallions and stuff in the way. But Lewis Hamilton, he was given this two-race exemption. I think it expires come the Azerbaijan Grand Prix in 4 weeks' time, when the jewellery could be rattled. Yeah, a new meaning to pedal to the metal. He says he has several piercings that cannot be removed in line with the new Formula One rules, at which point my eyes are watering and I'm wondering what on earth that means for the future. I mean, how daft would it be, though, if he had safety-compromising piercings, given the nature of his job?
Okay.
Surely not.
Yeah, interesting. It's been a long period. I mean, I think people have been wearing earrings. I don't know. But okay, I'll take it. Adam, always a pleasure. A wonderful Tuesday to you. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. That's your Worldview with Adam Gilchrist.